Good morning, everyone.
There's the microphone. Good morning. Good morning. It is great to be able to worship the Lord together, whether we're in a room together or whether we are connected by the Holy Spirit in different locations, in your homes, wherever we are, even across time if you're watching this later. We are one body because of Christ. Jesus is one, and we are one in Him. Praise be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, You are so good. The truth of those simple words we just sang, Lord, You are so good. And You have been so good to us, O Lord. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You most, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross in our place. The just dying for the unjust. He who is holy dying for us who are not holy, O God. And thank You that He rose again from the dead, defeating death, O Lord, and now lives and reigns forever and ever, Lord. Thank You for Jesus. I ask this morning, Father, that by Your Holy Spirit, You would quicken our hearts and our minds and our very bodies, that we would be drawn to You, that the things of this world would grow strangely dim, and our love for You, our knowing of You, O Lord God, would grow and grow in this time, that You, O mighty Father, would be glorified, and we, Your people, would know Your joy and Your peace, Your mercy, and Your forgiveness. So Lord, we bow before You now. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you remember, we started the book of Galatians last week, and we looked at the first 10 verses of the opening chapter there. And Paul's focus there was to say that he is a true apostle, and that he was not chosen to be an apostle by a group of people or by an election or a vote or anything like that, but he was appointed by God Himself. That he truly is God's apostle, God's messenger, and that therefore the message he brought, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is true because he is a true apostle. So you can read that at first and say, what is Paul tooting his own horn here? Is he just angry that some people had come to the churches of Galatia and started saying, nah, Paul's not really an apostle? No, it's not that. It's the message. They came and said, Paul's not a real apostle like the other apostles, therefore his message isn't true. And they were giving false teaching to the churches in Galatia, saying, yeah, you must believe in Jesus, sure, that's all fine and good, but there's more. You also have to be circumcised. You also have to follow all of the Old Testament laws. And that's how you're really saved. And Paul is incensed by this. And he says to them, why have you so quickly abandoned the gospel? There is no other gospel. There is no other name under heaven by which anyone must be saved. There is only Jesus. And so we were looking at and saying, whenever we think of and hear Jesus and, be very nervous. You must have Jesus and fill in anything after that there, that there's a false gospel there. Well, this morning, as we continue on in that passage, we're going to look at verses 11 through 24 this morning, the rest of chapter 1. And now Paul shifts slightly. He spoke in the first part last week to say his commission was from God. And now he's going to focus and say the gospel is from God. It's not something Paul thought up. It's not something that he learned from his parents. It's not something that was taught in the schools that he attended. That it's God's gospel, the authority, the truth of the gospel, because it comes from God and comes from Him directly. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 11 and go through verse 24, the end of the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when He who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remaining with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith He once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. This is God's word. Paul is speaking here about the gospel of Jesus Christ and where he got it from. In the first two verses, in verse 11 and 12, he states very clearly, just he lays out his premise for this section right at the very beginning. What is the source of the gospel? Where did it come from? How did he receive it? How did he know what to preach? He says right here that it wasn't from a man that I got it. I wasn't taught it. I didn't receive it from any person. But it was revealed to him directly from Jesus Christ. Now, probably we remember, most of us, this event. We talk about it as Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. It's in Acts chapter 9. We see that Paul gets a letter from the high priest to go to Damascus, and to, if he finds any Christians there, he gets to tie them up and drag them back to Jerusalem to try to have the religious leaders there punish them. So he's going out trying to punish Christians, trying to arrest Christians, and he's in an official capacity. Remember two chapters earlier, in Acts chapter 7, the first Christian martyr we have recorded in Scripture was Stephen, who was a deacon of the church, the church in Jerusalem, that he is stoned to death for his Christian faith. And while that's happening, Saul of Tarsus is standing by holding the cloaks. So he's participating in the death of Stephen. And now he's going to another city to get more Christians, whether it was to just have them arrested or to also martyr them. It's not clear. But Paul was zealously persecuting Christians. And on the road as he was going, Jesus Christ appeared to him. Those who were with him could hear the words of Jesus, which he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But they couldn't see anything. Paul saw, Jesus manifested himself physically, not just audibly, but also visually to Paul, and told Paul what he was to do, that he was to go into the city, and that he would receive instructions when he got there. And it's in that time period, once he's blind, and then one of the brothers heals him in the city, and it's there where God directly tells him the gospel. Opens his eyes, literally. We talk about that, right? We talk about having our eyes opened and our ears opened so that we can see and hear Jesus Christ. See, we can have all the facts about Jesus. We can know the Bible backwards and forwards. We can grow up in church. We can pray, but still not know Jesus. It's not a natural thing for us. The book of Romans, chapter 3, it says, no one seeks God, not one. No one says, I want God. Because of our sin, we've all turned away from Him, and our hearts don't desire God. There is only one way that we can come to God, and that is God opens our eyes. That God draws us. That God calls us. It is a work of God. That's why we say, it is by grace that we're saved, not by works. We are saved by God's free gift. It's the work that God does. And we receive it. And this is where Paul not only experienced that, but then learned about it. He learned the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul then goes on to kind of tell his personal story as a way of showing that this gospel, the gospel he preached, is directly from God. That it's not something made up. That it's not something that Paul dreamt up one night. There are many religions that we see today where it's written by people. It's imagined up by people and evolves even over time. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. First, in verses 13 and 14, Paul talks about his life before his conversion. He says, you heard my former life in Judaism before I was a Christian. So I persecuted the church violently. I tried to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And he says he was getting a lot of props for that. Everyone was really excited. He was advancing in Judaism, he said. He was, for one so young, he was just moving up the ranks because of his zeal and his study. He was so passionate about the traditions of his fathers, as he calls them. Not the Word of God, but the traditions. And he was so excited about that. He was a man who was truly, he acknowledges, far from God. So much so that he was actually trying to exterminate believers in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about his pre-conversion life to show the dramatic transformation that occurred in him. It wasn't some slow process where Paul started to think about it and, you know, began to say, boy, the choices I'm making in my life don't make any sense. They're not really good choices. So I want to work on changing my behavior, and we'll do that over time. Maybe I'll start to add some disciplines into my life that will help to change me. No, he changes instantaneously, right? We see this especially in the first century throughout the Scriptures. We see Peter denying he even knows Jesus. And then 40 days later, he's standing in the crowds shouting the glory of God and then telling everyone who would listen the name of Jesus. Even so, in Acts chapter 4, he gets arrested for it. He gets brought before the religious leaders, and they say, you are not allowed to talk about him anymore. And he says, tough. I'm going to talk about him. He says, and I love this, I can't help talking about what I've seen and heard. I can't stop talking about Jesus. There's just no way to do it. This amazing, this is the same guy? This is the same person who wouldn't even acknowledge Jesus was, that he knew Jesus? And now we can't stop talking about him. That's the transformation that occurred. And Paul has a similar transformation. He goes on then to talk about Paul talks about himself at his conversion, during his conversion, what was going on. Verses 15 and 16. But when he, Jesus, who set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, that I might preach among the gospels, among the Gentiles, and I did not consult with anyone. So there's a lot of information there. Talking about the time of conversion as he's on the road to Damascus and then enters into Damascus right after that. He calls out that God set him apart, not at that moment, but before he was born. It's a recognition that this is a work of God. Yes, in having Paul become an apostle, yes, that's the specific setting apart. But also his conversion. This is something that God does. God knew that he would save Paul from the very beginning of creation. God knew every one of our names before he even created anything. Think of the enormity of that. Before we were born, God calls us. He knows our name. He loves you. He creates you with love. He creates us to follow Him, and then He draws us to Himself. And this is what He's done to Paul here. Excuse me. He was called before he was born, and he was called, Paul continues, by grace. It was nothing that Paul did in and of himself. We talk about the word grace a lot. At least I hope we do. It's very important. When we say God's grace to us, that means it's a free gift. Whatever God does towards us, it's not because we earned it. We don't work for our salvation. We don't go to God and say, hey, look at my good works, God. Look at all these things I've done. Can this get me into heaven? Have I done enough? Because the answer every single time is no. Is no. Because sin, it's like a disease. It's a cancer within us that we cannot eradicate ourselves. And so if we try to work our salvation, try to earn our salvation, get into heaven by what we do, it's never good enough. And so God, by His grace, sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. His free gift to us is Jesus, with the invitation to come and believe. So Paul was set apart before he was born. He was called, he was converted by God's grace. And what was that? That God revealed His Son to Paul. He saw Jesus. Now, in this case, he literally saw Jesus. But we speak spiritually of our eyes being opened so that we can see Jesus, this work that God does. It's God's grace. And what does Ephesians 2 say? It is by grace through faith. Through believing. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We believe not just that Jesus was a person, we believe that He is the Savior, that His death on the cross was efficacious for us individually. We come to Him by God's grace through faith. And then He was sent out to preach to the Gentiles. He had a very specific mission. We did see, as we looked at his journeys in the book of Acts, even in the cities of Galatia, he would go to the synagogues first, and then eventually the Jews continued to reject him, and so God kind of continued to reveal that his ministry was more focused on the Gentiles. He never abandoned preaching to his Jewish brethren and sisters. Sistering? No, that's not it. Brothers and sisters. But his focus was on the Gentiles. And he wraps up again there at the end of verse 16. I did not immediately consult with anyone. Once again showing that the gospel he received, and as he was sent forth to go and preach, that it was from God directly. And that's important here, again, because he's saying, I didn't make it up. This isn't some new religion that Paul created, some new thought process. This was from God Himself. Well, then Paul spends the rest of the chapter talking about himself after his conversion in verses 17 through 24. I didn't go up and I didn't talk to the apostles at first. In fact, it was a long time before he went there. It was 3 years later that he went up to Jerusalem, he says in verse 19. He said he only stayed 15 days when he was there. And the only apostles he saw was James. That was it. So he's trying to say, look, again, it's not like I went to seminary where I learned all of this. It wasn't like I read some really good books that taught me this. This gospel that he preaches is God's gospel. It's from God. It is God Himself telling us how we can be saved. He went around and preached in other regions, and he was unknown significantly. But word was starting to get out, and the word was, this is the guy who was trying to kill us. And now he's preaching the gospel. And they too, people who heard about this from Jerusalem and other regions, they also, in verse 24, began to praise God and glorify God for it. They saw, they understood that this transformation that occurred in Paul was only by the working of the Holy Spirit, was only by God's grace, that Paul now had faith to believe in Jesus Christ. And so he was born again. And so he was sent off on his calling from the Lord to go and tell people, especially the Gentiles, about Jesus. This isn't made up. Paul's sending is from God directly. Paul's gospel, the gospel, is from God directly. What is the gospel? We keep using that word, and it's a glorious word. It's used significantly throughout the scriptures. Paul is speaking of the authenticity of the gospel. What is it? Well, there are many different ways that people have tried to describe it. The scriptures have some obviously wonderful ways. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 that I mentioned, that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 25, has a bit more extended but wonderful telling of the gospel. The end of the book of 1 Corinthians has a wonderful telling of the gospel. In order to try to bring it together, one way, I love what Billy Graham and his organization for generations now have put out. They call it Steps to Peace with God. Maybe you've heard that. Other ones, Campus Crusade for Christ, used to use the four spiritual laws just as a way to describe the gospel. Maybe you've heard of the Romans Road, which walks through the book of Romans to describe the gospel. But essentially, it's a recognition that God first, that God created us. And therefore, God wants to bless us. He loves us. He is our Creator, our Author. He is our Abba Father, our Heavenly Father. To start there and acknowledge that He is our Creator. But then we have a problem, number two. And our problem is sin. And our problem isn't just, oh, I lied once. The problem isn't that, oh, I stole something once. As I've said, it's a disease that we are born with now. We are born into sin. I know that's a difficult concept. You might say, hey, not my fault. Well, we all also do sin. That in our DNA, in our genes, comes out now in us all the time. And that sin rips our relationship with God apart. Tears it apart. God is holy. And we have rejected that rule, right? Number one was that God is our Creator. And we, intentionally or unintentionally, and this is for all people through all of creation, have said, stuff it, God. Tough. I don't want you to be my king. And that has broken this relationship. And so there is now a gap between God and all people. And it's a gap that no matter how good we try to be, we cannot bridge. But number three, there is a bridge. And there is but one bridge, but there is a bridge. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the bridge between God and us as sinful people. That by God's grace, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we trust in Him as our bridge, and actually put our faith in Him as our Savior, as our bridge, we are reunited with God. We are brought back together with God. And so, because Jesus is the bridge, now number four, the last thing is, we believe. We trust. We hope in Jesus Christ. We receive Him as our Savior. We live to Him as our Lord, as the one we put all of our hope and our trust in. That's the gospel. And we come to Christ by first confessing that we're sinners. We confess to God, I'm a sinner. We desire to turn away from our sin. That's repenting. That's that desire to turn away. It actually means, you know, to switch direction, to repent. But we can't do that on our own. But we have to, but we desire that. And that happens by believing in Jesus Christ for our salvation. That we trust in Him and He does the work of saving us. The gospel which transformed Paul, which transformed Peter, which transformed every Christian. Who is the most godly person you know in your life? Who is the one who shines forth Jesus more than anyone? It wasn't because they thought up the gospel. It wasn't because they worked hard to be good. It's because by God's grace, they trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation. All who have believed have trusted Christ for their salvation. Can you remember in your own life? Now, for some people, it's a dramatic moment, like Paul here. You can remember this you know, day and time and place when you were born again, when you believed and trusted in Jesus. For most people, you don't have that particular time. I like to kind of probably misquote C.S. Lewis for his conversion, as he was wrestling with the truths of the gospel for a long, long time. And he describes when he went on a journey once, he left his house and he traveled and however many hours it was, and when he says, when I left my house, I was not a Christian, but when I came back, I was. So he doesn't know exactly where along the journey it happened. What's that?
When he arrived.
Okay, when he arrived. Thanks. Yeah, I said I was going to misquote it. When he arrived, he was a Christian. Okay? Thank you, Malin. But he can't pinpoint the time. For many of you, you don't know. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and you're not sure. You just have always believed. In some ways, it's a struggle for those of you grown up in a Christian home. That sounds backwards, I know. It's a great blessing to grow up in a Christian home. But to think, do I believe because my parents have just always believed? Or do I believe? Do I own that faith for myself? The gospel of Jesus Christ. This gospel is not from people. It's not invented. It's directly from God. And God is the one who by His grace saves us through faith in Jesus Christ. As we go to prayer now, it's something that we usually don't do, but I would like to invite anyone who is here to pray to God and to trust Christ for the first time. There's no raising hands. There's no, you know, coming forward. Just between you and God. Okay? That if you have not believed in Jesus before, not trusted Him for your salvation, would you do that today? And for those of us who have trusted, we pray that we would see Jesus more clearly, that our love for Him would grow and grow and grow, that we would truly see Him in all of His glory and greatness and grandeur, that He would fill our vision more. The gospel is from God. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank You that You saw and You knew that we were in trouble because of sin, Lord. Because we are separated from You. And in Your love, at just the right time, You sent Jesus, Your Son, fully God, being incarnate as man, to die on the cross in our place. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Thank You for Jesus. Father, I believe You. I believe in Jesus. I trust Him for my salvation. Father, I ask that You would fill our whole being with Jesus, that we would see You more clearly, that we would behold Your glory, Lord, that we would love You with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength, O Lord God. Would You be glorified, Lord, by turning our hearts to faith in Jesus. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.